back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Jets tonight. Four Nations tournament happens in February, and both clubs who are squaring off tonight, undoubtedly, Darren Dreger from TSN, have players who are disappointed that they didn't make it. Tage Thompson for Team USA and Mark Scheifele for the Jets.
Yeah, that's fair. And you know what? I would submit Adam Lowry as another possibility from the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, it's all based on how you want to design or construct your roster. And both Canada and the United States would have played off of each other, not communicated with each other. But you look at Team USA and how loaded that lineup is, forwards, defense, the goaltending is top level. So I think from a Canadian perspective, even though they wouldn't acknowledge this, they're thinking about, okay, well, automatically we've got to find, you know, competitive balance. You know, who's going to match up what we might see in Matthew and Brady Tkachuk? And, you know, then you look at the goal scorers. Duffer, you mentioned Tage Thompson, submit Cole Caulfield from the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, I think what Billy Guerin, the management group of Team USA, looked at that was, okay, again, you know, we're looking at Canada, what they're going to throw our way. You know, Vinny Trocheck is an aggressive piece. You know, maybe he's more complete. Maybe there's more versatility in what Vinny Trocheck can do at this point of his game as opposed to what Tage Thompson can provide or Cole Caulfield. But what I know management, you know, reminded both those young guys of is don't get discouraged. You know, of course you were deep into the conversation. Now we're looking ahead beyond the Four Nations and we're looking at what our Olympic roster might be. And maybe at that point, you're more polished collectively in all aspects of your competitive game and you're a lock. We're not even having this conversation or questioning whether or not you should be available to Team USA. So I think the management of Team USA and Canada, for that matter, probably all four clubs, in delivering the message to those who are right on the cut line, on the outside looking in, said, just, you know, you were deep into the mix, but not quite there based on what we need and what we think we're going to have to go up against in the other three countries.
Now, Canada, U.S. are the better two teams, the best two teams, I think, roster-wise. But Team Sweden has a lot of really good players. They only have 69 skaters in the NHL, and they put a 20...
How many's Finland got? I like Finland their roster
has,
just as well.
Has, 37. How about that? Finland has 37 skaters from. That's tough. That's not easy. But I look at Sweden, and I look at their offensive power, right? The amount of players that can score, even from the back end, right? The Hedman and the Dahlin and all of that. Like, is Sweden overlooked in this competition?
Yeah.
You look at the odds. They're a plus 500, I think, to win the tournament, where Canada and the U.S. are much more, like, closer to even money. Is Sweden a sneaky good pick if you want a bit of a long shot?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking, and I'm assuming you haven't assembled these as lines. I mean, we're just putting a forward group. You're putting, you know, your 7D and then your three goalies. But I see Arvidsson and Nyquist's name jump off the page as we're looking at this. And those were depth guys that were brought in. And then you see William Nylander, who on this page alone would be considered the 13th forward. We know that's not going to be the case. But again, look at the group collectively. And when I think of the goaltending, you know, much has been made of Team USA, rightfully so, with Hellebuck and Jake Oettinger and Jeremy Swayman. But the goaltending for Team Sweden is right up there, right? Like, Jacob Markstrom for the Devils has been absolutely lights out good. Linus Allmark, all right, there's some work that he needs to get done to get more consistent and up to his standard in Ottawa. And then you've got Minnesota's Philip Gustafsson, who has been, maybe not for you guys, but somewhat under the radar by NHL standards when you look at the quality level of goaltending. So, hey, you can't overlook Sweden, and it would be a mistake to overlook Finland. In every international event, you know what you're getting from the Finns. That's why the nickname internationally is always the pesky Finns, because they're going to try and outwork you in every aspect of the game. And when I think of the top line for Finland as an example, and you've got Aho, you've got Barkov, and you've got Mikko Rantanen from the Colorado Avalanche coming at you from the Finns top line. I mean, All four of these countries obviously have a good chance to win. We spend more time focused on the North American teams in Canada and the United States. And on paper, for me, even though as we look at Team Finland, I see a lot of assets here and a lot of players that could surprise and disappoint if you are Canada, the United States, maybe even Sweden going in a game against Finland, maybe a little bit overconfident. But on paper, I look at Team USA as the best team. But that's the reason that these things don't play out on paper. I'm sure Canada's sitting there going, oh, no, we think we're pretty good, despite what guys want to knock holes in our goaltending. And the Swedes and the Finns are probably looking at Team USA and the other three teams with the same sort of thinking.
With the Sabres roster and right now in the midst of a four-game losing streak, they take on the Jets tonight, who have also lost four in a row and five of their last six. What do you think and obviously the Sabres are now dealing with a Dahlin injury with back spasms. Are you hearing anything as far as, what they may be looking to do or standing more patient with their young players? Like, what are you hearing about Buffalo at this moment?
Well, that they're willing to stay patient. And again, I think that's a credit to the approach of Kevin Adams. You know, as we've talked about on this segment before, not that long ago, we discussed the idea of Adams positioning for something big. Well, he's still open to that idea, but he also acknowledged, at least in the exchange with me, that he likes his team. And then all of a sudden the group started to come together and they started winning hockey games and coming together as a group. And so I think that gave management at least a hint of pause. All right, let's just see how this group continues to develop and get closer together. So here we are again now in a dip. And I'm sure Adams is doing what most general managers are doing and what he continues to do. And that's listening to the interest that there is in certain players, the interest that he has in certain players that may or may not be available. It's always easy for guys like me to speculate on what becomes the obvious. And that's the players that we know in play. And one of those guys just got traded, of course, from Columbus to Minnesota, and that's David Juracek. We know the New York Rangers are in some ways a bit of a tire fire. So we're going to continue to circle around the names that have been percolated in social media and mainstream media and all of that. But that's not what Kevin Adams and other general managers are focused on. Of course, they have conversations about those guys, but they're looking at some of the other stuff as well.
Dregs, from your experience, the Sabres have had three-game winning streak and now have had three games or more losing streak. They lost the first three. They had three in the middle. Now they're lost four in a row. Are GMs more active when the losing happens, or are they more active when the winning happens and nobody wants to talk about him? Because nobody was really talking about Kevin Adams when the Sabres win four out of five, right? And nobody's talking to him.
Yeah.
But are they sneaking like the phone calls in when nobody's talking about him?
A little bit of both. But look, again, I'm going to qualify by saying that most general managers remain fairly active. But you know, we had Billy Guerin on the Rain Dregs podcast, which just dropped minutes ago, and he reminded me of something that I think he learned from Jimmy Rutherford during his days in Pittsburgh. And that's, you know, if you go into a hockey trade where your sole focus is to win that trade, then you're not going to be very active, and you're probably not going to address the needs of your team. What you should do, at least his experience and, you know, kind of his motto is, I want to make a trade that's fair for both teams. I don't want to feel like I just beat my fellow general manager over the head. Sometimes that happens as you get into the true buyers and the sellers when you get closer to the trade deadline. But normally the trades that are more meaningful are the trades that work best for both clubs, right? And he feels that that was what happened between Columbus and Minnesota in the Juracek trade. So I think that the teams that we're talking about here that are more active are the teams that are stuck in that glut. And still, there's a big number of teams that are in the mix, right? They might be below the wild card playoff line right now, but they're 3 to 5 points out. You know, they're not 8 to 12 points out. And when you start getting into the double digits of being out, even though there's still a tremendous amount of hockey remaining in the regular season, Marty, I think that's when you get more twitchy. And that's why I look at a team like Nashville. And Barry Trotz continues to say, look, I'm going to give it until Christmas. Well, Christmas isn't that far away. And then what are we talking about here now when we're talking about Nashville? Are we talking about bigger pieces? And what did those pieces look like? But I think that that's what you're kind of looking at, Marty, when you talk about teams dealing through necessity or because of where they're positioned in the standings. And because of the teams being in that 3 to 5 point range who are still in the glut of it, I think that there's more conversation, but more talk than action at this stage.
I don't think Nashville can wait till Christmas. Do you?
Well, but I don't think it's about salvaging this year, Duffer. I think it's more of waiting till Christmas, maybe to determine how deep that knife should cut. Yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz can't go into a rebuild here. How do you do that when you've got Stamkos and Marceau and guys like Ryan O'Reilly and some of the other pieces that they have, right? But, you know, are you going to bring other pieces in that maybe make you better, more competitive for the rest of this year, but are jump-starting what would be, you know, a retool or transition, throw whatever adjective you want. But I guess to your point, if Trotz believes that this season can be salvaged in some way, shape, or form, then you're right. They can't wait until Christmas. But I think his point was, by waiting till Christmas, if we haven't pulled ourselves out of this funk, and evidently based on how they lost in the third period to Toronto last night, they haven't, then I think that knife cuts a little deeper in the new year.
Well, maybe to your point about Bill Guerin, like the Nashville Predators have 10 draft picks in this year's draft, 3 first-rounder, 2 second-rounders. Yep. Like maybe you're not trying to win a trade now. You're just trying to say, maybe we got to fix some of the issues that we have right now. But one issue that I think is a big problem in Nashville is Andrew Brunette the guy? Like, are they going to... You mentioned, like, maybe they can't salvage this season. So do you just ride him out for the rest of the year and do an off-season coaching change? Or do you have to do that in-season and try to get maybe a better second half for your group?
Well, I guess, but I'll throw this at you then. Like, who's better? Who's better out there who's available? I mean, is it Todd McClellan? Is it Jay Woodcroft? I mean, both those guys have been interviewed multiple times for a variety of jobs, you know, leading into the season. And I'm not saying that they're qualified, highly qualified. Of course they are. But it feels like, at least at this point, and maybe it was that dreaded vote of confidence, but Barry Trotz just recently came out and gave Andrew Brunette the vote of confidence. So normally when that happens, then the next step is, okay, well, I'm going to have to fire my coach. There's been some speculation that maybe Trotz would go back onto the bench. And I think that there are some family reasons that he doesn't want to have to do that. You know, just the flexibility of being the general manager, being allowed to be more mobile for family reasons is very, very important to him. But that vote of confidence always gets our attention. But I always try and defend coaches, and not because I have anything personal related to Andrew Brunette. I would just say, who's better? Maybe in the off season, but who's better right now?
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider from TSN. Thank you so much, Dregs. We're going to reset here for the final time and get you set for Sabres and Jets tonight. We're back after this on Sabres.